Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
They will opt out as of now, and do you feel like otherwise, you know, everybody's pretty much in and they're going to play?
Thanks. Yeah, we had one opt out, Eddie Vanderdoes. Have not heard from any other players. We respect those types of decisions and the process that goes into those decisions. You know, we haven't heard that from any other player. You know, I think football, especially in the NFL, you're always, you're never surprised, you know, so you just, you know, you see what happens. But, you know, I don't anticipate that today, but, you know, we'll see how it goes up to the deadline. But, you know, we've only had one to this point.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
Hey, Mark.
So a follow-up to that. So to that question, has everyone reported that's supposed to be here beyond the one player who opted out?
Everyone is here. Everyone's reported. Some guys are in different phases of, not many, but, you know, different phases of corona testing and physicals and things like that. But everybody's here.
How much work can you get done through the walkthroughs? What are some things you're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, you can get a lot done. I mean, you know, it's a lot. It's mental, but, you know, you can do some drill work. You can't really go against each other. You don't have helmets on, but, our guys have been great. You know, they've been out there very attentive. You can, we've been able to get a lot accomplished. We'll do it for about three more days, and then we'll start to move into the next phase, which is like a phase two relative to like the off season program, where now they can put helmets on and protective jerseys, and we'll do that on the ninth. So we have about three more days of walkthroughs.
Texans head coach Bill O'Brien out of training camp, 5 weeks away from the matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Hey, Bill, obviously no preseason affects the guys at the bottom of the roster, undrafted guys, et cetera. But what value would it have provided you and some of the other starters and the coaches, just given like kind of the procedures and stuff that I imagine will be in place this season versus a normal season?
Same without preseason games, Aaron, you mean? Yeah, so I think what you're asking is something that we've thought a lot about. Look, it's an unprecedented year. There's a lot of things that would take place in a normal year that you're going to have to figure out. I think my college background gives me a little bit of experience in that. You know, there's no preseason games in college. So relative to, you know, getting ready for game day from a communication standpoint with the coaching staff, with the players and things like that, I think we have a good plan for that.
Bill, because this is not a traditional offseason, once you put the pads on, do you expect that to affect the tackling drills you're going to be doing? Like, will that change at all because you're not having as long as a camp?
You know, I think early in the season, I think the team that does the best job with tackling, with penalties, with ball security is going to be a team that has the advantage. So we have a plan in place, really starting with phase two, even without pads, to really start honing in on angle tackling and proper tackling and things like that as much as we can do. We can't actually do it, obviously, but and then leading up to when we have pads on, you know, continuing to work the same drills, although they, you know, they won't be live, so to speak. We don't really do a lot of live tackling. I think the other thing we've been working hard on right from the start is line of scrimmage penalties that we feel like we can control, you know. So we've worked a lot on operation in all three phases, and we've got to do a better job than we did last year on that, in that phase. And then once we get to phase two, we'll begin to work more ball security drills, takeaway drills, and things like that. But that's going to be a big part of the early part of the season.
Bill, without the benefit of any preseason games, how do you go about evaluating those kind of fringe guys that may have been able to impress you with game action. How do you go about evaluating those guys in terms of, you know, making the roster?
Can they go out on the field and take it from the meeting to the walkthrough to the field and perform at a high level? I think that's the best way for us to evaluate them. But they just don't – they won't have as many opportunities. And, you know, that's just the way it is. That's this year. And hopefully those guys will just – hey, they'll do the best job they can with their opportunities, and we'll try to make as good a decisions as we can.
A lot of times players will make their big jump from year one to year two. With Titus Howard, now that he's recovered from the knee injury and working his way back, what do you expect from Titus in year two after what he was able to show you guys as a rookie and, you know, some of the success he had last year?
Yeah, we have high expectations for Titus. He's obviously a large human being. He's a physical guy. He's smart. He's tough. He's a guy that dealt with some injuries last year, especially the knee injury, but he's come back from that. He's out here in the walkthroughs. He's got a better grasp of what we're doing. You know, a lot of times, like I've said in the past, you know, these guys, they do take a big jump from year one to year two. And, you know, hopefully we see that with Titus.
Bill, some of your players and coaches have talked about using like virtual or like quiz apps and stuff like that during this offseason. I'm wondering, from a teaching perspective, coaching perspective, is there anything that you've taken from kind of adjustments you had to make this offseason that you think actually will carry on even when life does return to normal a little bit more?
You know, Aaron, we think about that a lot. You know, I think that I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I mean, I think, you know, look, let's be honest. We're in the middle of a pandemic, a very terrible pandemic. And, you know, I don't know that any of us can sit here and look at each other and say we see the end of it coming anytime soon. So I think relative to your question and you know, the virtual part of what we do, we're a virtual team. You know, we're a virtual team. We will have a couple more face-to-face type meetings when we're on a phase two schedule, but we'll still be Zooming for probably at least 50% of the day. And, you know, look, I think a lot of that, you know, probably will carry on into the future. I don't know that, but I mean, it seems like the way that it's going right now, I don't love Zoom. I'll be honest with you. I think that, the personal part of it, when you're in front of the team and the squad room and all that, that's a big part of football, but this is what we have to do to make sure that we keep the virus out of our building and out of our team. So this is what we're doing. And, you know, we'll see how it goes into the future.
Coach, how are your rookies doing, especially given the unprecedented situation? How are your rookies doing, and what can be a realistic expectation of them this season?
I've been impressed with the rookies so far, Brandon. I mean, it's a good group. They have a level of maturity that I think is really good. They're smart. They pay attention. They take notes. They try to do the things that we're asking them to do. You can tell it's really important to them. You know, how many of those guys can help us this year? You know, how many rookies over the years for any team have actually helped? I mean, it's tough as a rookie, and it's even tougher this year. But, you know, if they keep, you know, attacking each day the way they are so far, I mean, I can see where some of these guys could definitely help us this year.
He just said some of the rookies could help us. That's the first taste of optimism we've gotten from Bill O'Brien about rookies. That's out there at training camp, 5 weeks away from the Texans versus the Chiefs. We'll talk to John McClain in just a sec. He did say they are a virtual team.
They're virtually a team.
Non-virtual team right now?
They're virtually a team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can tell. I mean, B.O.B. has made some progress. It's the off-season Bill O'Brien, right?
Here we go again. Are you going to do this again?
No.
Are you going to say that he's calmed down? Is that what we're going to get?
No.
The teapot's gone, just like you did
no.
a year ago last year?
No.
When you were telling everybody that Bill O'Brien had calmed down? Do you remember that, Figgy? Do you remember that? Yes, we were at training camp.
I seen him at training camp. He was in a great mood.
I'm telling you, I'm seeing a huge change in the personality of Bill O'Brien.
You done yet? You done?
You finished or you done?
You done? Okay, he's done. What I said was...
No, we know what you
no,
said.
No, I'm not. No, I'm. Oh, last offseason, I totally agree with you. During training camp, on the field, it looked like it was a kinder, gentler Bill O'Brien because he wasn't even carrying a play sheet, and he was not even on the field when the offense was... I'm not backing off of that. I said that. He looked like it. Other people agreed with me.
Who?
Other people. And then all of a sudden, the real Bill O'Brien showed up. What I'm saying now, before you so rudely interrupted, was that I think he's comfortable in the offseason right now. You know, it really hasn't ramped up. They're not in, they're in training camp, but they're not like in training camp yet.
I think the biggest key for Bill O'Brien in 2020, and this is very important. John McClain's about to talk to us, and he's talked about this 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
Bill O'Brien's temper. He says he needs to work on his temper. And look, you can handle the Zoom meetings right now, and you can handle all the uncomfortable situations that we're having to go through when the games haven't began. And that's when Bill O'Brien is at the most high strung he is, is during these games, because he's intense, he wants to win, and that's what goes on. But a lot of times when that's going on, and then all of a sudden you have these Zoom meetings and you have that stuff going on, that's where Ish can just completely hit the fan. So he's really, really, really going to have to do a good job, as McClain has said in the past, of maintaining his temper, because this is an uncomfortable situation right now, and you might be dealing with it, but when uncomfortable situations meet maybe like a 2-game losing streak or something like that to start the season, you really got to keep your cool.
I can't even come close to anticipating that that's going to happen over the course of 16 games. Maybe he's going to try. I mean, he's doing better in the offseason.
I'm not talking about cussing out a media member or something like that. He should do that.
No.
I don't want that to change.
No,
but I'm just saying losing your cool and not being able to keep your composure for your team, because
exactly.
By most accounts from his team, he's pretty even keel when he talks to them, and it's going to be real important to do that. I hope he cusses out McClain and Berman every day. That's good for me.
I think, flat out, I think his temper and his temperament get in the way of his decision-making. That's what he needs to fix. Forget you and me and the media and cussing out.
Don't change there,
cussing
Bill.
Out fans.
Don't change there.
Well,
Bill.
I hope he changes for the sake of the fans.
Well, hopefully he doesn't cuss out fans this year. That would be messed up.
But that's
there aren't going to be any.
But that's not relevant to the product on the field. And that's all that we care about. That's why I was talking about the other day, you know, him saying David Johnson is Arizona's Walter Payton Man of the Year. I don't care. It's good. Good for him. I'm happy. I think it's good to have good guys on your team. But I don't care on the product on the field.
I couldn't care less.
I care about Bill O'Brien's temper when it affects the product on the field, and I think it has.
Reach 713-572-4610 to get in. 5 weeks away from Texans Chiefs. We've gone live to training camp a few times today. Let's talk to John McClain, who was in all of those phone calls. I'm going to get him to make fun of Lopez for saying that Bill O'Brien was a new guy last year. That's how we'll start the interview off next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Who's going to be in charge of the cap, Chris Olsen's job?
Kevin.
Kevin who?
I can't pronounce his last name. He's been there 13 years as Chris's assistant.
And that's official?
He's the guy doing the contracts now.
Really? So Kevin.
Yes, Kevin. John McClain joining us. He just met with Brandon Cooks. He met with David Johnson. He met with Bill O'Brien. And we got a special treat.
What's that?
We're going to get world famous with him leg hiking, but we're going to let loopholes throw stuff at him for him to hike their leg on. It's usually us getting hiked.
Oh.
Loopholes are going to call in. They're going to throw thoughts at John McClain.
And he's
going to
hike or not hike.
And he's going to hike or not hike. You want to get to the front of the line like this. This is like a Tickle Me Elmo / new iPhone.
Yeah.
713-572-4610 to get in. Coming up in 10 minutes, leg hiking / think tank combo, a chance for you to have John McClain hike his leg on you. It is a special,
that's
special
an honor,
time.
By
that's
the
an
way.
Honor, by the way.
That's an honor.
Yeah.
Right.
I almost feel like I shouldn't be giving it up, quite honestly. John McClain joins us right now. John, I wanted to start it off with this. Can you make fun of John Lopez like I did last segment for what he said a year ago about Bill O'Brien being a completely different, calm guy at this point last year? Can you please make fun of him for that?
I just try not to make fun of anybody because people make fun of me enough. Seth Payne and I talked about the same thing Wednesday. He had said last year in training camps a new Bill O'Brien. I pointed out, it's because it's training camp. Wait till the games start. Same thing. There's the Bill of the offseason, and there's Bill of the season. And I was listening to you guys before I came on. I was thinking about all the coaches I've covered in Houston who had tempers, and there were two that stood out, Jerry Glanville and Bill O'Brien. They also have the most playoff appearances in Houston coaching history. So I thought that was very interesting that that the two with the tempers have been the most successful as far as making a playoffs.
Yeah, look, I fell on the sword, as you heard. You know, I saw him just looking different, even from the training camps that I've seen him. But the bigger point here, John, is it doesn't matter, you know, him being grumpy with you or me or fans even. I feel like his temper has affected the product on the field. He's been hasty with decisions, maybe making decisions out of anger or whatever. Would you agree with that?
No, because I don't know what went into making the decisions or what his frame of mind was when he was making those decisions. I don't think his temper had anything to do with them losing to Denver and Carolina here with two of the worst performances in franchise history any more than his temper had anything to do with winning at Kansas City or beating the Patriots for the second time in history. There's been a lot of coaches who've had bad tempers and blown up all the time, but the players respected them. And as far as it affecting their decisions, I think we'd have to see Bill blowing up at an official on the sideline or a player and the clock running out or something like that, but we don't see that. So I don't know what his frame of mind is when he makes decisions, so I can't comment on that. Mm-hmm.
John McClain with us here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Just got off the Zoom call with Brandon Cooks, David Johnson, and you also got to meet with the coaches yesterday. As far as optimism, as far as production on the field, who do you feel best about? Brandon Cooks, David Johnson, who are you feeling best about based on, you know, the obvious, the context clues before and your interactions with them earlier today?
Okay, you're just talking about the two guys today. Well, Brandon Cooks has been a great receiver except last season, and he had a career low 42 catches. He had concussion issues but only missed two games. He said he feels great right now. He didn't want to go into details, but I was told he went to a concussion specialist expert in another city last year to get checked out because there's different grades of concussions. And right now, if he and David Johnson as well, if those guys played like they played in 2018, they're going to help make this offense be just prolific. But the key is they had injury. Cooks missed two games last year. Johnson missed three. And Will Fuller, you know, he only had 10 games in which he played, in which he was healthy. Randall Cobb didn't have an injury issue with Dallas, but the year before, his last year in Green Bay, had a hamstring problem that cost him games. But Cooks and Johnson are both really impressive talkers. They've been successful in their career. You know, I hear people all the time act like Johnson hadn't done anything since 2016. And I ask this question, I know I've already asked it of you guys and everybody that I'm on with, would you take his 2018 season in which he had almost 14 yards rushing and receiving and 10 touchdowns, knowing he's going to be rotating with Duke Johnson? I'd take that in a heartbeat. He's one season removed from that. So Cooks is an outside receiver who gives them incredible speed with Fuller and steals, and Cooks is going to be so important if indeed Fuller gets hurt again, like most people believe he will.
How much do you think he's going to be sharing with Duke Johnson? How much time are we going to see a split between these guys? Because I keep hearing third down back and all that.
Last year, Duke Johnson played all three downs. Carlos Hyde played in running situations. They were both at 40-something percent of the snaps. I think Carlos had 48-something. Duke had 40. Can't remember what it was. It was in the 40s, and then Tywan Jones had the other 1%. So now David Johnson, like Duke, and this is what I'm writing a column for tomorrow, the Texans have never had two running backs who catch the ball like them. David Johnson has a 10.7 yards per catch average in his career, and that's not too shabby. I believe I wrote about this earlier in offseason. It's better than any back has had based on a certain number of catches in a long time. He also has 15 touchdown catches, and he's only in 2017, David Johnson suffered a season ending wrist injury in the first game. So if you eliminate 2017, in those other 4 years, he's averaged 12 touchdowns and he's averaged over he's averaged 4 per season as a receiver. So he likes to line up outside in the slot, go in motion, same as Duke Johnson. And one of the things Tim Kelly's doing is he's designed packages in which both those guys are on the field at the same time, trying to create mismatches in personnel with the defense.
I feel like you're trying to make a case that David Johnson should be in the Hall of Fame right now. I thought you were saving that for Andre Johnson and Robert Brazil. My goodness, John McClain.
Do you dispute anything I just said?
I don't think I would be happy with what David Johnson did 2 years ago, given what you Well, I mean, you're giving him $11 million a year, $1,400.
What does money have to do with it?
Well, I mean, money prevents you from addressing other areas of your team, whether it's defense or anything like that.
Well, they were so bad, that wouldn't make any difference. Come on, Landry.
Well, I mean, you could.
The guy had almost 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns, and you wouldn't take it.
I expect
Come
a little
on,
bit
you
more.
Would or you wouldn't.
$11 million. We're talking $11 million for the guy, and you traded DeAndre Hopkins. It's relevant because it's like it's
with
like
all
a puzzle.
That money you make, shouldn't you be doing a better job?
Oh, you know,
You know what kind of money he makes? He's in seven figures.
Seven figures. Here's my point. He had a very good 2018. If he has that season for the Texans, along with Duke Johnson, it's gonna be good for the Texans. He did, if you look at yards per carry, which coaches like to do, he had 3.6 yards per carry, which is not exactly blowing anybody's skirt up. So there is that. But I want to switch. I want to switch because
let me say something else about David Johnson. His offensive line was awful, but
correct, and he
no
was really raving about the offensive line
last year when he missed 3 games because of injuries and lost his starting job. It's interesting to me. He's got his fourth new coach in 4 years and his fourth system in 4 years. And he's a really smart guy. And so he should not have any trouble adapting to it, even though it's been a virtual learning experience till last week. And now they're doing walkthroughs. But I believe if David Johnson stays healthy, he's going to be as good as he was 2 years ago. I don't see him having great stats because they like Duke too much. Those guys are going to rotate. But them together, I think, will help this offense be prolific unless injuries derail it.
All right. You kind of scared me. I thought you were going to say he was the Walter Payton Man of the Year for the Cardinals last year. And I was going to say, what is that supposed to mean for me?
Truthfully, I didn't even know that until I heard you guys talking about it.
Oh, yeah. My God, John McClain. John, by the way, we're going to do a little bit of special leg hiking / think tank, and J-Lo's got an important question for you. But I want to thank you, by the way, for adjusting your schedule.
By the
for
way,
us.
I have before I come on with you guys, I have to stretch. So I've been stretching.
Yes.
I've been really stretching. Pretty soon I'm going to be able to do the splits before I come.
Oh, I know
so
you
good.
Will.
Hey, we're good. We're good for your health. We're good for your health. We got you adding some yoga to that walking. But thanks for adjusting your schedule for us for real, because we usually have you on Tuesday.
Oh, thank you.
We know it's
you.
A busy time now. We appreciate you very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Very much. NFL Hall of Famer John McClain with us. 713-572-4610. Usually he hikes our leg on our takes. Let's allow you to get your take hiked on or agreed with by the legend John McClain. Plus, J-Lo's got a very important question him that he thinks is going to be very, very key factor for the Texans in 2020. That's next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, we got the legend with us, John McClain. Little think tank / leg hiking combo. He hikes his leg on our takes. He hikes his leg on the loopholes. Takes. Dump that last 5 seconds. There we go. John McClain with us. John, I'm going to start it off right off the top. J.J. Watt will have at least 15 sacks in 2020.
I'll say yes. He's healthy. Feels good. If he stays healthy, I believe so. 2 years, he had 16 when he was healthy. So, why not?
There we go.
All right. If Philip Rivers matches his 2018 season, this division race is over. Colts win.
Over Colts win? No, absolutely not. Hike it. Okay. The Titans and Texans are good too, but if Rivers could play that, it makes them a division contender if he can play that way.
Jonnu Smith of the Tennessee Titans will be a top 5 tight end when it comes to production in 2020.
I'm going to agree because he was great against the Texans. He'll have Ryan Tannehill playing with him every game, barring injury, and that guy can catch. and they have an opening for him. And I would say, yes, when it comes to receiving, he's going to explode.
Here's my next one, and it ties in with the question that I had for you, but here's the leg hiking first. Kahale Waring will not be on the 53-man roster this year.
Boy, he could be on the practice squad. So can Jordan Thomas. Any veteran can be on the practice squad this year. He's going to be behind. So, yeah, I'll say he's not going to be on the 53. He'll start off on the practice squad. So I agree.
Well, and I wanted to play that. You were there, but I wanted to play it for the sake of our listeners and to get your reaction. What tight ends coach Will Lawing said about Kahale Waring, and then what he said about Jordan Thomas.
So, like I said, anytime you're going from year one to year two, you'd like to see a jump. It's always a gradual thing. Kahale's worked his tail off. He's put in a lot of time in the classroom. He does a nice job, you know, learning from his mistakes as things go on. I got big expectations for him, as I do for all the other ones, as well, all the other guys as well. But I would like to see a jump from him. You know, we didn't get to see a lot from him last year. So expecting some progress. He's clearly worked very hard this offseason. He's in really good shape. He's put the time in, not only physically, but from a football intelligence standpoint, and really upped his game there. I'm excited about where things are headed for him, and we'll see how camp goes.
So, John, the difference between what he said about Kahale Waring and Jordan Thomas is big. He's not exactly singing the praises of Waring.
Well, he shouldn't, because the guy hadn't been on the field since Green Bay before preseason began last year. And Waring is in great shape. Jordan Thomas was not in great shape. Got Bill O'Brien's doghouse. Then he got hurt. He came out. He had one catch for 8 yards. In the playoffs, he had one catch for 7 yards. And he also has, this is his third year. He should be way ahead. And Waring should be way behind those other guys.
5415 on the text line. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. We'll get to the phones in just a sec. Brandon Cooks and Will Fuller will both have 1,000-yard seasons.
Well, I'll say no, because they would both have to stay healthy, and the odds are one of them, especially Fuller, is not going to stay healthy for an entire season. So if you'd ask one, I'd say yes, two, no.
The last thing Lance McCullers Jr. should be doing is criticizing technological advantages another team might have.
Absolutely. Complaining about that roof opening, that was bad.
He said it was ass. It's not bad, it was ass, according to him.
That was not good for Lance McCullers any more than his performance when he got shelled. There's a great stat, I think Jason Braddock had this last night, about minus his first three and looking at the innings after that. It's amazing how he's gotten shelled after the first three innings. And that just sounds to me like he's wearing out, or his breaking ball is not breaking like it always does.
Yeah.
But there's something there that there is a huge discrepancy, and it ain't the roof.
Numbers are hot.
It takes a little while to get that breaking ball going usually. And these guys just aren't as stretched out as you're used to them being. John McClain with us, Think Tank / leg hiking combo. Let's go to the loopholes. All right, you're on with John McClain. Go ahead. Shoot your shot.
Randall Cobb will be leading the team in touchdowns this year.
He had three last year, so I'll say no. Hike it. He's got a lot of competition for those touchdowns, including the running backs, including Darren Fells. And so, no, I'll say not Randall Cobb.
Golden Retrievers are the best dogs.
Absolutely, positively. I had two of them. They were truly a man's best friend. My vet said, if people were golden retrievers, we'd never have a war.
Thank you. Thank you.
American Labrador, baby. American Labrador. All right. Duke Johnson will rush for no more than 500 yards.
Absolutely. He had 410 last year rushing and receiving. He's got David Johnson to share time with. Plus, they ran the ball last year fewer times than since Bill O'Brien's been the head coach, because the emphasis is more on Watson, and it'll be even more on Watson and throwing the ball this year.
All right, let's go back to the loopholes. You're on In the Loop with John McClain. Shoot your shot.
Jose Altuve is completely psyched out by the whole cheating thing.
Oh, you know, it's funny watching him, how bad he is. I've seen him get off to bad starts before. He swings at so many bad pitches, but he's too good of a player to not bounce back. So I don't think he's psyched out. I think he's just off to a slow start now, too. They will rebound.
It's on the table that some of these guys have been pressing, especially early in the season. I mentioned it. They might be pressing a little bit because they want to prove, boy, we can hit the ball no matter what. I thought, you know, Correa swang at a pitch, and he's had a good start, but he swang at a pitch foot outside of the zone on Saturday night. Obviously, Altuve has had some struggles. They could be pressing a little bit. I don't know how much you would value what you would put in that, though.
Well, it could be. Springer and Altuve and Bregman, the top three, they were in the ones last week.
Right.
The only two guys who have consistently been good, Brantley, who's out, and Correa. I looked on there last night. They had four guys hitting in the ones, and they had only one, Correa, batting better than .268. Mm. So they are even. It's amazing how many runs they're scoring despite having those stars. Now, maybe Springer's bounced that back because he's swinging a bat a whole lot better.
11 RBIs in five games.
And last night, getting homers from Toro, who hadn't done squat, and Tucker, that is a big boost, and I love what these young pitchers are doing. But, man, you know, the veterans need to step it up.
They do. They do. Big game tonight, rubber game against the Rays, and then you got that series against the A's. All right, you're on with John McClain. Shoot your shot.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson will acknowledge that he is not, nor will he ever be, as good as Kyler Murray.
Hey, Figgy, hike it. You need to get the hiking going.
That's right. Hike it, Figgy.
That's a super hike right there. Yeah. My goodness. You know that was Ocho. Ocho likes him some high school football.
He likes Texas high school
football.
He's
all about the Kyler Murray. All right. Think tank / leg hiking combo. You're on with John McClain. Shoot your shot.
Get woke, go broke is playing into the abysmal ratings of the MLB and the NBA this year.
The MLB has had the highest ratings. It's higher ratings than it has ever had for the Houston Astros. Anyway.
And they got off to a great start with that, too. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think people, as we get closer. Once they, hike it. Once, you know, the NBA, I love watching the NBA. You know, I'm ready. Move on. You know, the NHL's in the playoffs. They have two out of three play-in series for their four out of seven. It's exciting. I'm ready for football. I hope college football plays. You know, it's an unprecedented time, and that means we should be more interested. So I think at the end, ratings are going to be super in all those sports.
Yeah.
You're on with John McClain, think tank, leg hiking combo. Shoot your shot.
All right. With the two receiving running backs and the plethora of receivers and tight ends, the Texans would now be a pass-first offense rather than a run-first offense.
Hmm.
They were pass-first last year by far. They'll be pass-first even more than they were last year when they ran fewer times than any time since Bill O'Brien became the head coach.
Nobu says Bill O'Brien is a better GM than coach.
Well, Bill O'Brien, the coach, has won four division titles in 5 years, and Bill O'Brien, the GM, he was the GM without the title last year. I think we need to see his GM work over more years before he could make that judgment. So I'll say hike it.
Another texter, 3869, says Duke Ejiofor will also not be on the 53-man roster.
That's a good chance because he missed last season with the injury. He missed the offseason program. There's a lot of competition at outside linebacker. The backups are John Gernard, the third-round pick, and Jacob Martin going into his second season. So those guys are ahead of him. He's going to have to be a demon on special teams to make that 53. They also can put him on the practice squad, so I'm going to say he's ticketed for the practice squad to start the season.
Think tank leg hiking combo with John McClain. You're on with the general. Shoot your shot.
I have a question for the movie savant, John McClain.
Go ahead.
Citizen Kane's greatest movie in the history of cinema.
Hike it. There's a lot of people that think that. I've watched it several times trying to see. I think the fact Orson Welles was so young when he did it, a lot of people think that way, and there's a lot of really good film historians that believe that way, but I've seen it and I don't think it is.
John, I'll put you on the spot here because this is an unfair question, and I admit it up front. If you asked me the greatest movie of all time, I would have like 15, 20 different movies pop into my mind. But if you just had to pick one right now at 12:46 on Thursday,
oh, gosh,
what would the greatest movie of all time be in your opinion?
Air Bud.
The Godfather.
There you go.
Doesn't travel well with time,
oh,
though.
Oh, shut up.
Goodfellas is better.
So you clearly don't agree.
Hike it
on Landry.
Hike it high, baby. Come on.
So some people say Godfather 2 was better than Godfather. Obviously, you're not.
I believe it was just as good. They're both masterpieces.
Okay.
All right. Think tank leg hiking combo. Shoot your shot.
John the General. What's up, old school? Hey, we know you've been with your wife for a long time.
Oh, no.
But the guys were talking earlier about Pogs. Did you just only date Pogs, or did you get like Travis Kelce and get invited to the barbecue?
I don't know if that's making any sense.
I think he knows what he's talking about.
I don't think that's
Pogs are fat-ass white girls. Were you into Pogs is what Pavetex was asking.
Hike it on that question.
Yeah, exactly.
Hike it out.
The hell is wrong with Pavetex?
Exactly.
I have a little respect. My gosh.
I love all. I'll tell y'all an interesting story. Keyshawn Johnson was a rookie in 1996, top pick. But when he was at the combine, we interviewed him, and the New York Giants always gave a 500-question test. And so he talked about how much time it took, and somebody said, what was the most interesting question? He goes, do you like tall women? And we said, well, what'd you say? He said, I crossed out the T and put yes.
Hey,
so that's the way I feel.
This is your theme song. This is yours and Keyshawn Johnson's. This would be your walk-up song. If John McClain were a player for the Astros, this would be his walk-up song to the plate.
Tight.
Nah.
I ain't got no type. That's your walk-up
My
song.
My walk-up song would be George Thorogood's Bad to the Bone.
Bad to the Bone. Nah, 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 nah.
That was Randy Galloway's theme song with his radio show.
We've got a texter that has a think tank slash leg hiking that I want to know the answer to. The Longest Yard was John McClane's best acting job.
No, it was Spring Breakers.
It was a lot of fun making The Longest Yard remake. I had a blast from the time I got arrived in L.A. and was picked up in a limo to the time they took me back. But I thought the movie Cook County, which I played Uncle J.D. and I was not a crystal meth addiction, that's the one that I had the most lines. But the one was Spring Breakers, yes, in which I was a judge,
yes,
and had to send four girls back to jail while
Selena
James
Gomez.
Franco was checking them out and going to bail them out. That would be the number one.
Yes, Cook County, you did a good job. I saw that at the River Oaks Theater, and
that was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, you were sitting. It was sold out. You were sitting at that kitchen table doing some big time acting. That was a good job.
Did you get to meet Gucci Mane? Did you get to meet Gucci Mane at Spring Breakers?
No, I didn't.
Damn, man.
He didn't get to meet me either.
Damn. Y'all both lose. All right, you're on with John McClain. Shoot your shot.
John, Pour Some Sugar on Me. Great strip club song or brutal?
Ooh, is that a good stripper song, Pour Some Sugar on Me?
Hike it.
Thank you.
Hike it.
Thank you. Lou Williams went to the strip club for the wings.
I'm telling you, I've probably been to Atlanta 50 times, and the first thing I do every time is go straight to Magic City for the wings, and I can certainly see him doing that, and I've been very fortunate. I get the wings and the celery, and I get the carrots,
and I
take the ranch dressing, and the Chronicle's been very nice to approve my $2,000 expense.
There we go. $2,000. Gosh, that's some expensive
wings.
That's
nothing back in the day.
Going up.
That's nothing back in the day.
All right, you're on with John McClain. Think tank, leg hiking combo. Shoot your shot.
Guys, I think that the PGA tournament here in Houston will be the best PGA tournament within the past 5 years.
Okay. When is the PGA here?
I don't think it's official. I think they're talking about that a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know, but if it comes to Houston, yes, it'll be the best because everything in Houston is the best.
There you go.
All right, you're on with John McClain. Think tank, leg height combo. Shoot your shot.
Today's movies may not be better than the classics, but they are definitely a lot more entertaining.
Oh.
Well, I don't know what that means. I've been watching movies that I can remember since my mother took me when I was 8 years old to see Ben-Hur. And I think movies are better made. They're more realistic than they were. The special effects, of course, lot greater, but I wouldn't say the writing or the acting is any better.
I watched that last night. That's funny you mentioned that movie.
Yeah.
You said
the original
you
Ben
said,
Hur.
Oh, I thought you said said Bend Her. My bad.
Shut up. My bad.
sorry about that. I digress.
Hike it, Figgy.
All right, you're on with John McClain. You got the final word. Shoot your shot. Go ahead.
Okay, you don't have the final word.
All right, you got the final word with John McClain. Go ahead.
The Astros picked up Dusty Baker's option too soon.
Ooh.
No, under the circumstances, I don't think that's fair. I think it was smart to do. This team's going to have issues next year. They're probably going to lose Springer, maybe Brantley. I'd love to see them re-sign both of them. They're going to have pitching issues. We wonder if Verlander's career could be over, if Roberto Osuna will be back, because those guys, it looks like, are going to need surgery. So they got a lot of issues. So I'd bring Dusty Baker back next season. I'm glad they exercised that option.
John, thank you very much for coming on in a special time. We greatly appreciate
thank you guys
it.
That was good. That was
today.
Fun.
I appreciate it, John and Landry. You guys have a great rest of the week. Thanks, everybody called in, and stay safe.
There we go.
There we go.
John McClain, the legend. Normally at 10:40, special time. It just feels appropriate.
There it is, walk-up music.
It just feels appropriate 5 weeks away to hear him.
Can I say something about the loopholes?
You can say whatever the hell you want.
As John McClain's walk-up music plays, shout out to the loopholes, except for Pavetex, and what do you call him?
A slime ball, a weasel.
Shout out to the loopholes for doing it the right way.
Thank you.
We were, you know, pulling back the curtain in the break. We were talking to each other going, man, I don't want to set up McClain.
I didn't think it was going to work.
I didn't think it was going to work. Part of me did, part of me didn't. You know, because somebody would just, hey, McClain, do you weigh 450 or 500? You know, it's just stupid questions, you know.
Well, you just did what you told them not to do.
No, I was giving an example. But our loopholes just
we can never
proved,
have this segment again.
Our loopholes just prove why they are the absolute best. No setup, stupid, silly, contrived questions. Just legit leg hiking takes.
Just save that for us.
Yeah,
tip
I'm about
of the
to keep
cap.
That same energy.
Save
tip
that
of the
for
cap.
Us. You can come at me.
Tip of the cap to the loopholes.
Come at me. I'm a man. I'm not 40. NFL Hall of Famer John.
Good
McClain
job. A round of applause for the loophole.
Thank y'all very much. Appreciate you. Let's go around the NFL. The deadline to opt out is about 2 hours away. Plus, bodies are changing around the AFC, and the Texans need to make notes. Next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.